I don't know what's going on in your life. I have some idea of what the headlines are of what's going on out there. And I guess the kind of, who would have expected it would look like this, like right now? I don't mean the weather, I mean Westminster, I mean politics. I mean, I'm not going to get political, just in case any of you got a bit nervous. You know, the vicar's, the rector's away, so the curate's going to, you know, give it something. No. But in our lives and in the wider setting, there is uncertainty. We don't know. We weren't expecting things to look like they do now. And we're not entirely sure where things are going to go either. And the question then is, well, how do we live in that kind of world? How do we not get paralysed by the uncertainty? What am I going to do? Or if paralysis isn't your temptation, perhaps the other one is, how do we not try and control absolutely everything that we can control, which is all in here, all the while knowing that the big stuff is outside of our control and is going to have impacts on us that we couldn't foresee and we can't do anything about. And this is where we need to look at the little prophetic book of Haggai, which is in the Old Testament. Bye-bye, Jeremy. Thank you. On pages 896 and 897 of these church Bibles. We're going to be looking at Haggai for the next 6 weeks, including this week. And today we're just looking at the top and the tail. It very conveniently opens out into one open spread. But this is a book written to people in a I'm not sure what's happening next and I wasn't expecting it to look like this now kind of situation. So for the people in Haggai's day, they're the people of Israel, or what's left of the people of Israel, the people of Judah. And from where they're sitting, they can look back on a big history full of some big ups and some big downs. So they can look back to starting as sort of a massive nation enslaved in Egypt, via a massive rescue of God out of Egypt into the promised land, and then sort of a few ups and downs, but some steady big economic, as it happens, growth into being quite a significant Middle Eastern trading nation. But as money comes in to them, their faith in God seems to go out, and they end up essentially deserting God, and so then God sends them to exile into Babylon, and Jerusalem's left a pile of rubble. Okay, but while they're in Babylon, God sends them prophecy after prophecy, saying he's going to take them back home, things are going to be restored, and the things that are to come after are going to be better than the heyday that was there beforehand. And so whilst they're there, again, a kind of a runt of a nation this time, in exile, after only 70 years, this superpower, this sort of almost unstoppable Babylonian empire just collapses. And the new guys that take over, the Persians, say, go back home. Go back to Jerusalem, Jews, and go and rebuild your temple. And it's too good to be true, isn't it? And so they do. They shoot on back. And this is where we find Haggai, except when they get back to Jerusalem, things are not what they were expecting. Things are not the easy rise to glory that people had hoped. And people had thought that God had promised to them. And so the people's trust and obedience to God kind of wavers a bit. I don't know why. Maybe they were paralyzed by uncertainty. We're here, but what next? Maybe their horizons had shrunk so much, and we see a little bit of that, that they were thinking only about number one and forgetting about God entirely. Anyway, whatever's going on inside them psychologically, God sends this man Haggai and the book that he's left us to a people who weren't sure whether they were moving forwards, backwards, or just stuck in a rut. And he sends them Haggai to remind them to have faith that God is real. God is still real. God is still there. God is still on their case in a good way. God hasn't forgotten them. He's still interested in them, and he's still going to build his kingdom through them. So here's how the book starts. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. And it's a less than ideal situation because, well, they're not free. The king is Darius in Persia. The leading Jew is just a governor. And these guys are basically still in some form of slavery or vassalship. They're back home, but it's not exactly freedom. Don't get me wrong, it's better than being in exile. But it's not what they had hoped. And they don't know are things going to get better, worse, or stay the same, or what? And then God speaks. And not any old God. So have a look down. Verse 2. Darius might be the king, but this is what the real king, the Lord Almighty, says. And as we sung, who can stop the Lord Almighty? God reminds them, no, I am in charge. And he does that through Haggai. We're going to hear what the Lord Almighty says to them over the next 5 weeks. But for now, isn't it just encouraging to think, okay, I think maybe if you're anything like me, it's easy to trust God when things are going really well. And it feels like the showers are blessing. And actually, it's surprisingly easy to find God sometimes when you're in the absolute pit of despair and you've got nowhere else to turn. And you cry out, and he comes down. But here is a book written to all of the uncertain bits in the middle. And isn't it good to know that God is interested, God is in control, God is at work in us and for us, in all the middling bits too. He's not just there for the happy days or the crisis. He's here for today, wherever today might be for you and I. So he'll say to the people later on in this chapter 1, I'm with you. In chapter 2, be strong, all you people of the land, and work, for I am with you. This is what I promised to you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. God remains faithful to his people. God remains faithful to his purposes. The folks in Haggai's day, they were confused. They're saying, what's going on? Where are we going? And God says, no. All of the past promises that you depended on, they are still true. They are still being fulfilled. So a lot of those promises were about the royal line of King David. And there's a descendant of David, Zerubbabel. He's not the king. He's just the governor. But there is still the line of David. And the book closes with a word to Zerubbabel himself. Tell Zerubbabel, 2:21, tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his comrade. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. And the gist is this, through Zerubbabel and through his most famous descendant, Jesus, God did establish his eternal, still going, still growing, not going anywhere, doesn't matter who's in charge, kingdom. He still then, at the top, at the bottom, and all the places in the middle, forgives out all of our sins. He still then pours out his spirit into our hearts. He still then defeated death so that we have nothing to fear when that time comes. He still hears each and every one of our prayers. And he still rules over our circumstances for our good. Because all things do work for the good of those who love him, as Romans tells us. So here is a book from God to the people of God in uncertain times. Hear again these words, and with this I'll close. This is your Lord Almighty, remember this. Be strong, all you people of the land, and work, for I am with you. This is what I promised when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear.